Chronicles chapter number 12. When you get there, stand with me. Second Chronicles chapter number 12. You can read the previous several chapters if you'd like to get a little bit more of a landscape as to who Rehoboam was and the mentality that he had. He did start off great. The Bible tells us that in chapter number 11, verse number 17, at the very end. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. So he started off right for 3 years. But then when he forsook God, he began to do his own thing. We saw the judgment come down. Start in verse number 9, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 9. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king's house. He took all. We preached on that this morning, the things Satan wants to take from you. We're going to focus on the next part here tonight. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself. Again, we see the same thing that was mentioned in verse number 1. In Jerusalem and reigned, for Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah and Ammonitis. Verse 14, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. We saw in verse 1 that he strengthened himself and he forsook the law of God. In verse 13, he strengthened himself. In verse 14, says he did evil because he didn't prepare his heart. Everything was prepared for him. He didn't have to prepare his heart, so he thought. And that is a risk that we do run with supplying things for our children the way that we do. And the blessing that we have of the environment that we're able to raise our young people in, we have got to teach them that they can't just ride the coattails of mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, that they've got to prepare themselves. Because we run a risk in the type of church that we have where children will just live in the shadows of what their parents are doing or what their grandparents do, and they don't always prepare their own hearts because they don't think they have to. We've got to make sure that we make a differential, that God has to be your God. This is why we stress it as often as we do around here. We say it regularly. You have to have a personal relationship with God. You will give an account to God for that individually. Verse 15, now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah, the prophet, and of Iddo, the seer, concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. Rehoboam slept with his fathers, was buried in the city of David, and Abijah, his son, reigned in his stead. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we begin to dissect your Word, begin to look very intently at what we see that Rehoboam began to do. Help us to take these truths and apply them to our lives and understand there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a path that we try to follow and we try to reason. But just as the Sunday school lesson was this morning, your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. Help us to be able to walk in your ways and your path. Lead us, guide us, direct us. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here again, just by way of laying a foundation again, Rehoboam strengthened himself, and it says it twice in this chapter that he strengthened himself. He forsook the law of God, and then he did evil because he didn't prepare his heart to seek after the Lord. Again, everything was prepared for him to be successful. He had a granddaddy who was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He had a granddaddy who was the man after God's own heart in David. He had a father in Solomon who was the wisest man in all of Israel, who had built the temple of God, who had taught the people of God how to walk with God, and he saw revival in the land. Rehoboam had grown up in this. He had grown up in the ministry. He had grown up in a solid foundation. He had grown up in an environment where everything was handed to him. But yet, he did not learn how to prepare his own heart. Now, he had a daddy that stressed it. Okay, we went over that this morning in Proverbs chapter 1 all the way to chapter number 7. He says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father. My son, incline thine heart to thy mother. My son, forsake not the law." Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. He said it over and over again, trying to get his attention. But Rehoboam was too busy strengthening himself. I'm going to preach a message tonight that is entitled, "Settling for Brass Instead of Gold." Go back to verse number 9. Here, he carried away at the end of the verse also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. His father had provided everything for him and even built and made or had cast shields of gold. Now, these shields were not shields that went to battle. These shields were literally decor pieces that were there in the temple and that were there in the king's house. They were shields of gold. And the Bible says in verse 10, "Instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass." And then he committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard. And so what had happened is he made these cheap imitations, a shield of brass rather than gold. And many of you know brass or red copper, it begins to have the appearance of something that is gold-like, but it does not have the substance that gold has. And I'll explain that here in just a moment. But here what he did is he made these shields of brass and he gave them to the chief of the guard. And so the guard would bring them out only when they were necessary, only when they could be seen. And then at other times he had them hidden away because he didn't want people to come and to touch them and to feel them and to handle them and to see that they were a cheap mock or a cheap imitation. So here you'll notice about these shields, let me give you a little bit of a correlation. Shishak had taken the golden shields and Rehoboam had replaced them with brass or with the red copper shield. It would be a look-alike, a fake. It would be an imitation or a cheap copy. It was to keep the people deceived, to make them none the wiser, so that they did not know that the shields of gold had been taken away. A symbol that symbolized their strength, that symbolized their superiority over others. He had some shields of brass that were cast. Now gold, let's give a little bit of a comparison here. Gold always represents things that have the highest quality and the highest value. So in your Bible, anytime that you see gold that's mentioned, it has the highest quality, it has the highest value. That's why in the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant was made of gold. That's why the table of showbread, of course, was made, but they had the altar of incense was made of gold. You had the golden altar that was there was made of gold. And you had the candlesticks that were made of gold. So gold was something that had the highest quality, had the highest value, because anything in the work of God ought to be of the highest quality and ought to be of the highest value. Listen, God's business is the greatest business in all the world, and if we're going to do God's business, then we ought to put some quality behind it. We ought to put some value on top of that and understand that we ought to do the best that we possibly can. We ought not cut corners. We ought not try to put a cheap mock-up, but rather we ought to put forth our best foot and our best effort as possible. That's what gold represents. Now, gold, in essence, we know, costs more than brass. Anytime you're dealing with gold, it's going to have a higher cost value as well. Sometimes when you're doing things in a first-class manner, it's going to cost a little bit of money. And we know that. And Solomon knew that. That's why he had riches coming out of his ears while he was king. God had provided in all these different ways. But while he had the revenue that was there, he made this shield of high quality. Gold is also heavier than brass. When you go to pick it up, it's heavier. So these shields that Solomon had made, are you awake, Gary? Sit up. That way your eyes are open. Because when your head goes back, the eyes close. It's like a button back there or something. That's how it works. And so, make sure you sit up. Gold is heavier than brass, but gold can also withstand more pressure than brass shields could withstand. So when something was plastered out of gold, it had a higher endurance factor. It was more resilient. These gold shields were made by Solomon, and they were pure gold. But they were also, it symbolized not just being pure, but being pure from bloodshed and pure from war. Because remember, during Solomon's kingship, there was no bloodshed. There was no war. Israel was just a sweet fellowship with God. They had all kinds of peace. And so these gold shields represented that. But what Rehoboam did is he made a cheap copy. He made an imitation. He made a brass shield. And then he kept it hidden so that people did not recognize the inconsistencies. He kept it hidden from the people and only brought it out on special occasions so that people could not examine the material or begin to weigh the material to see which was which. Now, this is the burden that I have tonight, and I want you to understand this. I'm not going to preach this angry, but I want you to understand where I'm coming from. In modern day Christianity, we've done the same thing. Unfortunately, Brother Nick, our generation, and I made a mention of this Wednesday night, I alluded to this, our generation, Brother Anthony, has dropped the ball. Right. We've been handed the scriptures. We've been handed the very word of God. We've been handed the standards. We've been handed the convictions. We've been handed everything that God has told us to do. But we've got a generation of young people that are our age that are taking and leading the church in another direction. There is a group of people called today neo-evangelicals, and you know the term, but not just the neo-evangelicals, which kind of summarizes modern Christianity, but there is a neo-fundamentalist group as well, or a new age fundamentalism. There are those who are calling themselves recovering fundamentalists. I don't know what they're recovering from, but they say that they're recovering fundamentalists. And they're leaving the King James Bible. They're leaving the standards and the convictions that they were taught. They're leaving the very doctrines of the Word of God. They're leaving the autonomy of the church. And they're moving and leaving the independence and going towards an emerging church. And we see that happening today all around us. By the droves. There are those that I went to college with and I went to high school with that I thought would still be faithful to the things of God today, but today I can't associate with them because they're not like-minded. They don't believe the same Word of God that we believe. They're the same age. But a lot of this has crept in. And sadly, we see this happening simply because, just like Rehoboam, he didn't prepare his own heart. He strengthened himself. He had a heritage. He had a lineage that was great. And I would give just about anything to have the lineage he had. Think about it. A man after God's own heart was his grandfather. This was a guy that God had handpicked to be the king of Israel. This was a guy that had slain giants. This was a guy who had his 37 mighty men. This was a guy who wrote half of the Psalms that are in your Bible. This is David. He got to sit at the feet of David. His dad was Solomon, the wisest man in all of Israel. He didn't see war because God had blessed him and he had the hand of God on his life. This is a young man who literally cut his teeth in royalty. And in the presence of men who knew God, who walked with God. But he himself did not. He himself did not prepare his heart. He himself chose to do other things. And as soon as the gold had been taken away, he began to develop this mentality of, we've got to put these shields back out there so people think that we are still what we used to be. And so he cast these shields of brass. And he put on a mock of what it used to be. He was trying to be like it was in the past. To hold the shield of gold, but he didn't have the gold. He didn't have the value. He didn't have the quality. Because he had left all of that. He forsook the law of the Lord.
And that's what we're seeing in our churches today, where people are moving away from the Word of God, and they're moving away from the standards, they're moving away from the convictions of the Bible, they're moving away from the doctrines of the Word of God, and they're trying to replace the shields of gold that have been taken, and they're putting shields of brass in their place. They're trying to manufacture something, and they're still deceiving the people, thinking that everybody's okay. Thinking, oh, we're just like we used to be. No, we're a far cry from what we used to be. Now, we say all the time that we're not going to compromise and we're not going to change, and the same doctrines that we've been handed are the same doctrines that we're going to preach and teach around here. And we are not changing. And of course, by the good grace of God, we're going to stay faithful to the Scriptures. And we're going to stay faithful to the doctrines that we've been handed. But understand, these shields may have been built or cast overnight, but the transition didn't happen overnight. The transition happened all of Rehoboam's life because he never prepared his heart to seek the Lord. So when you see compromise that happens in churches, this compromise doesn't happen overnight. This compromise is a steady compromise that happens time and time again because their hearts were never prepared to seek after God. I believe there's some brass shields today that are beginning to replace the golden shields that we once stood for. And let me explain. There's four things I believe we're going to look at tonight. Number one, I believe that the gold shields have been replaced by brass shields of Scriptures. And we've seen a replacement take place in our independent fundamental Baptist churches. We're teaching on the King James Bible on Wednesday night. We laid a foundation last Wednesday. It's just a little mini series. But understand, many people today don't want to take a stand on the old King James Bible. There's a good preacher that I know of. He's writing a fresh book on the doctrinal stand and why we believe the King James Bible. It'll be coming out soon, Lord willing. But understand today, modern day publishing companies like Nelson and Holman Publishers are many a time still perverting even the King James Bible. We may mention that Wednesday night on how they'll change even simply the spelling of the words. Now listen, either we have the Word of God or we don't. It's one or the other. Either this is the incorruptible Word of God like the Bible says over in 1 Peter, or we don't have the Bible. It's one or the other. Some people may think it's not a big deal. But may I remind you, the simple truth, things that are different are not the same. So yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal as to whether or not we have the Word of God, because God says, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. And if God's Word is settled in heaven, then God has given us His Word to be settled here on earth as well. Either we have the Word of God or we don't. See, either you can change it to believe what you want, or when you begin to change it, it will curse you. One or the other. There was a preacher that we used to listen to when we were teenagers, and yeah, I'll go ahead and name some names here. There was a preacher that we used to have. He came in and preached a revival there in the church that we grew up in, and we would go to a leadership camp, and we would hear him preach. His name is Brian Sams, and he pastors over in Florida right now. But he led a crusade here recently within the last 3 years. And he entitled it called The Church Advance. And what it was a big conference that he put on teaching other independent fundamental Baptists how to transition away from the King James Bible to modern translations. And I was actually shocked by some of the ones that began to attend there. He had Kurt Skelly there. Now listen. If there's somebody that is transitioning away from the King James Bible and they're taking a stand against the very Word of God, I'm not going to yoke myself up with that person, and I'm not going to begin to follow after that person. I want to stay as far away from that as I possibly can. I don't go to a dumpster to find a good steak dinner. I separate myself from trash. Now we got to understand that it is a big deal. There is a big transition that's taken place in modern fundamental Baptist churches, and they're trying to replace the golden shield that we have been handed with brass shields of Scriptures. They're beginning to transition away from the King James Bible, and they're beginning to make light of it. I was listening to a preacher just here the other day. I was doing some work, and I was listening to Brother Shiflett, and he was preaching a message, and he had mentioned that there was a church that he had known about that was local to where he was. The pastor had said, "We're leaving the King James Bible. Bring whatever modern translation you want." He didn't even tell them what Bible they were going to. He just said, "We're leaving the King James Bible. Just bring whatever you want. Whatever makes you feel good." Now, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." This is why we use the King James Bible. This is why you only have the King James Bible out here on the altars or underneath your pew, underneath your chair there. This is why we only put the King James Bible on the monitors. We don't want there to be any confusion on where we stand and on what we are using. We want people to know this is the hill we're going to die on. But there's been some brass shields that are beginning to be replaced. They're replacing the golden shields that we were given. And I believe the first one is the brass shield of Scriptures. Secondly, I believe we were given some golden shields years ago, but today, I believe they're being replaced by the brass shield of standards. Not only our Scriptures are being changed, but I believe the standards of the Word of God have been changed. And many that call themselves men of God and many fundamental Baptist churches are leaving the truths that they were given. I was talking to Brother Anthony just yesterday. Looking at a church camp that we had gone to. They used to have very high standards, very high quality. And I was looking at some of the pictures, things that weren't allowed when we were teenagers there. The standards have dropped so low. You see, they've been replaced by brass shields. And people say, "Well, we live in a different day and age." Yes, we may live in a different day and age, but we serve the same God. He is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, your Bible says. And if He is unchanging, then His Word is unchanging. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verse number 10, the Bible says to lift up a standard before the people. We're to take the Word of God and we're to show you exactly what the Word of God says on how we're to dress and how we're to act, how we're to present ourselves, and we're to lift that standard up to lead the people of God. Many people begin to say, "Well, we live in the 21st century. And we need to keep up with the changing times." Well, to that I say, God's Word never changes. It is unchanging. You say, what brass shields of standards are beginning to come into the church? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you. We have the brass shields of clothing. The standards. The clothing has changed. The standards that used to be had at youth conference and used to be had at church camp where men would dress like men or young men would dress like men and young ladies would dress like young ladies. Now you can't tell the difference between the two because of the things they're allowed to wear. The Bible still says in the book of Proverbs chapter number 7 that if a woman is showing her thigh that she's still called an harlot. The Bible calls it the attire of a harlot. It's what your Bible says. You could tell who the prostitute was in that day and age by how high the slit in the skirt went. By the way, you can still tell today. Isaiah chapter 47 tells us the same thing, verses 1 through 5. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5, the Bible still tells us that women are not to wear that which pertained to a man and men are not to wear that which pertained to a woman. Well, the Bible still tells us that pants are for men and that skirts are for women. The Bible still tells us that men should not be walking around in dresses and skirts, regardless of what society says. Society wants to tell you that they're all about equality and they're all about men doing whatever they want to do. We like to watch a show as a family. It's called Lego Masters. I don't know if you've heard of it or not. But we like to watch it. And we've seen multiple times through the different seasons that we've watched where there's been different people that are on there as a group. And there was one season where there was a guy who was in a full-on skirt wearing it, and they called it a kilt, you know, the Scottish terms. And I noticed it at first. I'm like, no, it can't be. And then we saw it again. I looked at my wife and said, is that guy wearing a skirt? And he was. This is the society that we live in. This is what gets promoted in our society today. I used to work with a guy when I worked at Lowe's. And he came in one night and he was
a normal guy. It was him and his wife. They were married. They had some struggles. We had a daughter, and he and I, we talked about church attendance, this, that, and the other. One night he shows up to work and he's wearing this leather kilt. I'm like, why are you wearing a skirt, dude? What's going on here? He's like, I just enjoy the way it feels. You feel that somewhere else. I'm going back to my department over here. Shocked by the way society is. The Bible still tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, this is, we're still talking about brass shields of standards, our clothing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible still tells us that a man ought to cut his hair and look like a man and not a woman. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. The Bible says that. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. And we understand that tonight. Listen, this is nothing new. These are things that we already know. But we live in a society, we live in a day and age today where everybody's crying out tolerance, and they're crying out equality, and they're crying out all these things, and they're calling us bigoted, and they're calling us misogynistic and xenophobic and all these other random words. They don't even know what they mean. Just because we have standards and convictions. They call us haters. They call us, Brother Anthony, legalist for having standards. We're not adding anything to salvation. That's what a legalist is. Somebody who adds something to salvation. We just think that because God saved you, there ought to be some change that happens in our lives. The brass shields of standards, I believe it's shown in our clothing. I believe it's also shown in our communication. The Bible still says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33, that evil communication corrupts good manners. I was talking to my kids just here recently, and I shared this with my wife as well, that you'll notice most of the time young people and children who have bad manners usually have bad language. Because the two go hand in hand together. Evil communication corrupts good manners, which your Bible says. And somebody that can't go around simply saying thank you or yes ma'am or no ma'am or yes sir or no sir or please or excuse me, if they can't use simple manners, usually they've got a problem with the tongue. Their communication is usually filthy. Their communication is usually evil. Now, I understand they may not be going around cussing everybody up one side and down the other, but their communication is less than what it should be. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Understand, filthy communication comes out of your mouth because you allow it into your mind and into your heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34. The Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the things that are going on inside your heart, listen, it wasn't just a cuss word that slipped out of your mouth and you say, oh man, I didn't mean to say that. No, you've been thinking about it and you've been cussing people in your mind long before it ever came out of your mouth. Amen. We know it's true. That's why when you slam your finger and you smash it with a hammer and you say all those wonderful little things, you start singing Jesus Saves, praise the Lord. I told my wife just the other day, I was remodeling the sound booth in there, and I told her I smashed my finger and I got a cut on my knuckle where I'd scraped it right across the floor. She said, oh, and what did you say? I said, Jesus loves me. Accountability, amen. How was your communication? It was good, I promise you that. Oh, I know she was. But you see it all the time. Oh, I like to watch a lot of sports. Watch a lot of football, a lot of basketball. And there are times where Brother Nick, they'll zoom in over to the coach on the sideline. And Nick Saban was bad about this with Alabama. Somebody comes to the sideline and he's just over there in the red face and the throbbing vein, and he's just back and forth. And then he's saying everything. He's like, man, I hate the fact that I can read lips right now, but I'm so glad they're not putting that on television. Because he wasn't saying anything nice to the person. But why is it that way? Filthy communication comes out of your mouth because it's in your heart. Trash in, trash out. Trash in, trash out. And what we've done is we've lowered the standards in our lives. We've lowered the standards in our home. The standards that we have as far as the television shows that we watch and the things that we allow into our home. And we've lowered those standards so that those words are now filtered into our minds. And they're in our very presence. They're in our home. And our kids hear it regularly. And then we wonder why they struggle with that in their minds. It's because of the things that we've allowed. It's the things that we've brought in. See, God's Word doesn't change.
God's word still says evil communications corrupt good manners. I don't care how well you train your child, but if you're constantly exposing them to the things of the world and you're not monitoring the things that they're listening to and the people that they are listening to, it's going to have an effect on how they speak. It's going to have an effect. I remember as a teenager, there was a certain crowd I would get around and I'd begin to talk like they talked. Why? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. But when I was around the right kind of kids, then I didn't talk as bad. Now, I may have had a bad influence on those good kids. There's always one in the youth group. And that was me, unfortunately. Don't say it, man. Brother Anthony back there, yeah, that's true. We have the brass shields, though. You see, we're given some golden shields of standards. We were given some standards and convictions that our grandparents believed and that our parents believed and that were passed down from the generation before and from our forefathers. But today in modern day Christianity, people are saying, well, that's old fogey. We shouldn't do that. That's too old fashioned. It's not going to reach anybody. It's not going to make a difference in their lives. You got to keep up with the times. And we've settled for the brass shield of standards in our clothing, in our communication, but also in our companions. Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Go to Psalms 1, I'll show it to you. Psalms chapter number 1. Verse number 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice there's a digression that takes place in this verse. Okay? Here the man starts off walking, and then he's standing, and then he's sitting. Which means there's a digression. Which means there was progress that was made in the wrong direction. Okay? Here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What happens when you're around somebody and you begin to walk in their counsel and you begin to walk according to their structure and you begin to walk according to their speech? What happens? Well, you begin to condone that sin. Birds of the feather flock together. Show me your friends today. I'll show you what you are or what you'll soon become. Okay? You begin to condone the crowd that you're around. And so you begin to walk with this crowd over here. And the Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse number 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with the world and walk with God. Our teenagers enjoy singing a song, How Did You Feel When You Came Out of the Wilderness? It's a church camp song. And in the chorus, it's walking with the Lord. Because walking with the Lord's a whole lot different than walking with the world. There's always a difference. But when you're walking with somebody, you're beginning to have that fellowship one with another as you're going down the road. And I know those of us that go out door knocking and you walk with your partners, you're from house to house, you begin talking about different things, you begin fellowshipping about different things, or you're simply just walking around. My wife and I, during the school year, the kids will be outside playing and we'll walk the laps of the parking lot. We just sit, we're not sitting, we're walking around talking to one another. What happens when you're fellowshipping like that? You begin to condone what's being talked about. Here, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So here he goes from walking to standing. Here they go from walking and having a general conversation, and now they're standing. They went from condoning the conversation to now they're compromising. They're beginning to consider it. They're beginning to contemplate. Oh, okay. We'll just stand around here and we'll fellowship and we'll... How about that? How about that? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. By the way, the way of sinners, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Okay? Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now think about this. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. The Bible has a lot to say about the way. Okay? And there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And here, the way is specifically defined as the way of sinners. That's what your Bible says. So this man is standing now in the way of sinners. He went from walking in their council and enjoying the fellowship to simply from condoning the sin to now he has compromised his position. And now he is standing where he never thought he would stand before. Are you listening? That's what has happened in fundamentalism. Pastor Danny Farley is a pastor down in Texas. He made a statement several years ago. I heard him preach. He made a statement that what took the Southern Baptists over 100 years to compromise in, most fundamental Baptist churches have compromised in less than 50 years. Compromise is happening. People are today standing where they never thought they would stand on an issue before. I know I've heard older preachers make the statement that today, this is not the America that they grew up in. They never thought they would come to a day and age in America where a man or a woman would be considering transitioning to the opposite sex. Considering being something other than what God had created them to be. But today, there's a lot of people who are standing over here on this side of that position when they used to stand way over there. How did it start? They were walking in the council of the ungodly. And now they're standing in the way of sinners and they've left the way of the Lord. Are you listening? That's exactly how it happens. It's the digression of sin. So they've walked in the counsel of the ungodly and now they're standing in a position that they never would have stood in before. And then what happens? Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So here they go from walking with God to now they've walked in the counsel of the ungodly and now they're standing in a position that they never would have stood in before. And now they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, what does a scorner do? A scorner mocks. This is what we're seeing with this new fundamentalism. This is what we're seeing with these recovering fundamentalists. They've walked away in the counsel of the ungodly. They're standing in a position they never would have stood in before years ago. To now they're sitting in the seat and they're mocking the men of God that are taking a stand for the Word of God. Are you listening? They're sitting in the seat of the scornful. That means if they're sitting in that seat, they themselves have become the scorner, the mocker, the one who's now ridiculing. Man, I remember when we used to do stuff like that. Man, we're so enlightened now. I'm glad we've grown in grace. And they're mocking the people of God for still taking a stand. Are we following along? This is the digression that happens in churches. Simply because we've chosen to replace the gold that we were given with brass. We've replaced the value and the quality that God has handed us with something that was insignificant. We've replaced something that was of weight and had worth to it to something that is easily transported and moved. By the way, again, gold weighs more than brass, so you can't move the shields as quickly as you can the brass ones. And the Bible says in Proverbs, remove not the ancient landmarks. And there's something to be said about having some landmarks or having some things that are rooted and grounded and some positions that we take that are unmovable because the Bible says to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And there's something to be said about somebody who's going to stick to what they've been taught and to take what they've been rooted and grounded in and to stand firm on the things of God because they know they're not going to be quickly moved. Matthew chapter 7 says the man that builds his house on the rock is going to be the blessed man. His house is going to stand firm. But the man that builds his house on the sand's ever shifting. The sand's always changing. And when we have the brass shields instead of the gold shields, we can constantly move the standard down the road. And that's what's happening in society today. We have the brass shields of scriptures. We have the brass shields of standards, and that resembles our clothing, our communication, and even our companions. But I believe also another brass shield that we have, and this may make some people mad, but you'll get over it. Another brass shield I believe we have today is the brass shield of social media. There are those who used to take a stand against the infiltration of social media. I remember when it first came out back in 2004, Facebook came out, and even before that, there was a thing called MySpace. How many of you remember MySpace? I remember as a teenager, we'd go to church camps and we'd go to youth conferences, and our youth director himself would just preach the devil out of my space and said, your space ought to be right there in the book. It ought to be in the Word of God. You don't need a space of your own. You let it get Jesus get all up in your space. Amen. And the preaching would happen. And they would preach against the social media. But then things became more prevalent, and they began to realize it wasn't going away anytime soon. And now there are those today, and again, you do what you feel you need to do. I don't have social media. I have a friend of mine years ago that asked me if I had social media. I said, I got an email. Does that count? He said, you're not, you got to go up with the times there, buddy. It's like, I don't have one. I'm not going to have one. I know how much trouble I would get myself in. And I know how much would not get done. Okay? Because I'm a pot stirrer. Alright, you know what that is? Somebody likes to stir a pot every now and again. I'm one of those guys that's like to come in and just shut the light off or turn the light on and just expose something real fast and just let the chips fall where they may and see what happens. Stir the pot. I've always been that way. Bless you, you're healed. But today, I believe we have the brass shields of social media. I believe there are things that are being allowed today through social media. And again, there's over 300 different platforms of social media today. There are some like Snapchat where you can take a picture and you can send it to somebody and within 15 minutes it's disappeared or it will delete itself. By the way, nothing ever completely gets disappeared or deleted. In the waves of the internet, you get somebody intelligent like Brother Anthony, they can find the material. It's always there. It never gets fully deleted. But the whole thing about Snapchat, and I used to hear it back when it first came out, the only reason for somebody to begin to use something like that, if they're going to send pictures that are going to be deleted automatically, is that they're sending pictures of themselves in a compromising position. I understand we have children in here. But yes, there are those who would send naked pictures of themselves across the waves here on social media. This is something that parents willingly let their children have. But you don't understand, the filters are on there and they're hilarious. Yeah, they might be. They might be. The Bible does still say fools make a mock at sin. But there's a position that we take. I don't have social media. Our church doesn't have social media. I know different folks do, and I think if you use it, you ought to use it for the glory of God. You ought to find a way to promote Jesus Christ in the midst of it. Amen. If you've got social media, you ought to be saying amen right there. You ought to use it for the glory of God, not for selfish gain. I understand people think it's a great way to communicate today, and they're trying to reconnect with old friends, but let me go ahead and tell you and remind you, they're called old friends for a reason. There's a reason that you lost connection with them. I know there have been several marriages that I've heard of and even talked with different folks. Found out there's been a lot of marriages that have been destroyed because of Facebook. Got yoked up with an old girlfriend or an old flame, an old boyfriend. As a matter of fact, several years ago, we actually had Brother Chris Dallas come. Were you here at that time? We had Brother Chris Dallas come and preach. He preached the whole message on Facebook. Of course, he has one now. But he preached the whole message on the vices of Facebook. And in there, in that message, he begins to explain a company that had partnered with Facebook. And the name of the company was called Ashley Madison. Hopefully, you've never heard of it. Unless if you were here during that time when he was preaching on it. It's the only reason I know about it. But that company is a company that was built on the platform of creating and helping to sync up different people who wanted to have an illicit affair on their spouse without getting caught. And Facebook had partnered with that. Most people don't know about that. I heard many people say here recently during this last election, well, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, the leader of Facebook, he's donating towards Trump's platform, so he must be a Republican. No, he's whatever makes him money. Okay, that's how most people operate. Same thing with Elon Musk. He's not a conservative. He never has been. He never will be. That's why he's got 15 different children with 7 different women. Okay? He's never been a conservative. Same thing about Jeff Bezos. None of them are conservatives. They're just going to simply follow a money trail. They're businessmen, just like our president is a businessman. Okay? But let me give you some postulation, let you think a little bit. If in our town, if we had a pastor in town who had a problem or an addiction with child pornography, and they'd even type out or write out stories of their own imagination about children that attended his church, I would dare say we probably would not want to go to that church. Right? We've had that happen in this town, not too far from here. Let me give you this. If there was a pastor here in our town who frequented the bar, he just had to let off some steam and he'd go get a buzz and he would drink from time to time, I'd say you probably would not want to attend that church because of his position on alcohol. Right? I wouldn't attend the church. If I started drinking, I would not continue in the position that I'm at because I would be disqualified from that. But we had a pastor here in our town on the south side that was an alcoholic several years ago. If there were a pastor in our town who owned a movie theater that showed R-rated movies, and some could probably be X-rated. Many of you remember 50 Shades of Grey several years ago. Yes. I would dare say we probably wouldn't want to attend that church, right? We've had that in this town. We've had all these things. What am I saying? I'm saying that we have moved from the shield of gold to the shield of brass. You say, well, how does that pertain to social media? Well, I'm getting there. Again, I had mentioned the system of Facebook and the partnering with Ashley Madison. Not only that, Twitter, or X as it's been called now, not even just that, but they had Telegram was a big one back during COVID, I think is when it began to launch. There was another one, Rumble is a social media platform just like YouTube. There was another one, Truth Social, our president uses it regularly, that has absolutely no filters. You could say whatever you want to say. We have these different platforms, and they promote everything that the world can imagine, even to the complete lust of the flesh. They promote the murdering of those that don't agree like they do. They promote the LGBTQ, PIIAAS, all the different whatever letters they have, 75 of them now. They promote these things as being okay. But then we want to have a part of that. Let me give you a quote by a lost man who was in a rock band. He made the statement. He said, and it's a pretty lengthy quote, so let me quote it to you. He said, you see it all the time. As somebody who's in the world and I have to watch what I say, when you see a page that literally says, assassinate Donald Trump, and so I believe Facebook comes out and says it does not violate our standards and practices. Okay. That's where somebody like myself, this is what the guy's saying, has to ask, is my participation in the Facebook system, and I would call it a system, am I actually encouraging something that, as an American, I would find offensive? Now, this is a lost guy. Something about a political party. I'm not just talking about political parties. I'm talking about the fact that Christianity is dragged through the mud regularly on social media. Many times we say it's okay because it's a way for us to stay in contact with family, friends, and even missionaries. And then we wonder why the lost crowd doesn't want anything to do with church because most churches, are you listening? Most churches don't know what they believe in these areas. Again, I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't do. You do whatever you feel God wants you to do. But if you're going to use something, use it for the glory of God. I believe we have the brass shield of Scripture today in most churches. I believe we have the brass shield of standards today. I believe we have the brass shields of social media. Anything to draw a crowd, any way to get the message out. A good old-fashioned website still works. Just saying. And then number four, and this is the last one I've got written down, but it's not an exhaustive list by any means. We have replaced the golden shield with a brass shield of sacred marriage today. Where we live in a society, most people don't even look to marriage as anything that's important anymore. I say it regularly to different folks that we come across in contact with. I think about a year ago, my wife and I met somebody who had been married a little over 50 years. Well, I think it was going on 60. I don't remember the couple. It was an older couple. Been married for a very long time, and I told him, I said, "You are our heroes." Because sadly, most of my generation is not going to reach 10 years, let alone 60. 17. Getting close to 20. Amen. Praise God. Commitment is gone. It's gone. And I thank God for the examples we have in our church. But it's rare. It's rare. It's hard to find couples that have been together and been committed to one another for that long. There are those who will say, and it's a false statistic because it's misleading, it's inaccurate. They would say, well, even though the marriage rate has declined, divorces are at an all-time low. Listen, divorces are at an all-time low because people are shacking up. They're not getting married. And we know that. Marriage rate has declined in our society, but it's also declined in proportion to the rise in homosexuality as well. Realize less than 5% of Americans identify as being queer and homosexual, but it's the vast majority of what you're going to see on television. The vast majority of what gets talked about in schools anymore. We have allowed a cheap imitation. God has told us that He created one man and one woman, and He brought them together. And we've settled for a brass shield of marriage. People think, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll just trade this one in for a new one. Somebody I was talking to here some time ago made the statement that they're embarrassed when they tell people how many times they've been married. It's something they're ashamed of. And he said, I'm going to make this marriage work because I'm not doing this again. It's shameful. It brings a reproach. But we've replaced the golden shield. We've seen more compromise today than ever before. But we have got to make the statement. We have got to come to a point in our lives where we realize that the shields of gold are being replaced by shields of brass. But we've got to root ourselves in. We've got to get rooted. We've got to get grounded. We've got to dig in and say, come hell or high water, I'm going to hold on to the golden shields that I've been handed. I'm going to hold on to the standards that I've been given. I'm going to hold on to the scriptures that I was given. I'm going to hold on to the things that were given to me. The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same. Commit thou to faithful men. The things, the same. We're not to amend it. We're not to adjust it. We're just to apply it. That's it. Just do what we've been taught. Yes, there's times where we're going to look at things and we're going to question, hey, how can we do this better? I was talking to Brother Anthony just recently. I said, hey, we need to get together and discuss our outreach. We don't have social media. We're not going to. But there's a way that we can have a presence online without having that. Do you know
as a church and businesses all through town. They have a thing online with Google called a review. Our church has a 3.7 Google review rating. It could get better. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, the reviews mess with some part of the algorithm that when people search for Baptist churches, the higher the review numbers, the higher on the list you show up. And so when people are looking for a place to go, then they'll go to the ones that have some of the highest reviews. Because people go when they, just like you go and read the reviews of restaurants, people go and read the reviews of churches. How can we have a presence online without having a quote-unquote social media page? There's a lot of ways to do it. There's a lot of things that can be done. But we've got to choose that we're not going to replace the golden shields with brass shields just to draw a crowd. Are we listening? We're not replacing anything. We're going to hold on to the golden shields. We're going to allow the devil to steal those from us. Because the devil can't take our scriptures. Okay? The devil can't take the position that we stand in. We've got to make sure that we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that we don't stand in the way of sinners, that we don't begin to sit in that seat of the scornful and become just like them. But rather, we take what we've been given and we pass that on. There ought not be a disconnect mid-generation. We were handed the great truths from the generation before us. Our job now is to take what we've been handed and to be able to give it to the next generation and to pass that on. Not amended, not adjusted, not changed, not ripped out, not half of what it used to be, but every bit of it. The whole counsel of God. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed.